Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Before we begin the sermon, there was another thing I needed to reveal to you all. I heard from a friend, the Bishop of Lahore, which means Pakistan, basically, in the subcontinent. Mushtaq Andrew. He reported that Father Tom Uzunalil was kidnapped a week ago by ISIS, apparently. And sadly, it turns out that he was crucified.
Oh my God.
I don't know if it was on Good Friday or if it was Easter. I don't know if they knew the difference. But in any event, he was crucified, most sadly. So, keep him in your prayers. Sorry to have to report that, but it's a very dangerous place. I'm surprised that the bishop is able to survive there. But pray for them. All right, well, we'll get on with the sermon.
He's a really brave fellow. I've never met him, but
he is. Father Bo met him. Of course, I met him at the last synod. He was able to get here this time. When he was ordained, he was supposed to come here, but he couldn't get an entry visa because our wonderful State Department was so afraid he might be a terrorist or something. So, anyways, the Archbishop had to go to somewhere in Africa to consecrate him as a bishop. But anyways, the good thing is he was able to come to the Synod. He's a wonderful, very devoted, dedicated churchman. And somehow he perseveres there. I see him on Facebook periodically. In fact, really often. All right, we'll get on with the sermon. The sermon for today, which is the first Sunday after Easter, also known as Low Sunday, I'm calling I Have Overcome the World. It's written by the most Reverend Archbishop John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He first gave the sermon April 19, 1998. At the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." His statement is a perfect expression of the completely realistic attitude toward life that Christianity promotes. On the one hand, life in this world is full of difficulty and trouble, and there is no way around it. On the other hand, in his death and resurrection, Jesus has beaten the world. Easter shows that difficulty and trouble don't last forever, and they don't get the last word either. Those ideas constitute what we might call the Easter attitude, the cast of mind St. John talks about in today's epistle. He tells us that by faith and by the power of the Holy Ghost inside us, we can share Jesus' victory over the world. It is a similar idea to what St. Paul said in last week's epistle. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Living in the power of Easter begins with accepting the teaching that Jesus Christ, who was dead on Friday, was alive again in his body on the next Sunday. It begins there, but it does not end there. The next step comes in applying that teaching to ourselves. When we are baptized, we become part of Christ's body. What happened to him will happen to us. He died. We shall die. He was buried. We shall be buried. He rose from the dead in his body. We shall rise again from the dead in our bodies. He went to heaven to live with God forever. We shall go to heaven to live with God forever. That means that in the long run, everything is going to turn out well. God gives us no guarantee at all about the short run, about life in this world in which we have tribulation. We have the guarantee of his love and his presence, But no guarantee about how things will turn out here. But we do have a guarantee about the long run. Resurrection of our bodies made perfect, and then life forever in heaven above. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. Our task as Christians is somehow to live our lives with two realities in front of us. Jesus on the cross and Jesus off the cross. Jesus on the cross reminds us that this world brings tribulation, and that Jesus hung there both to forgive all of our own cooperations with tribulation, and to break the hold tribulation itself has. The empty cross tells us that Christ's suffering and the world's despair ended on Easter morning when God beat death in Jesus' body. So the Easter attitude is trouble for a while, rest for a while, life in heaven forever. The church is the way God recharges his spirit in us so we can have that Easter attitude more and more. The attitude of good cheer in the face of the tribulation this world will bring. Good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world for us. But the Easter attitude is more than merely a mental thing, a way to reprogram your mind. The Easter attitude involves a series of commitments, commitments to action as well as commitments to belief. On the basis of such passages as this morning's Gospel from St. John chapter 20, we believe that Jesus set up a church, an organized structure in which his word can be preached and taught, and his sacraments celebrated and received in an orderly, but not stultifying way. The church's structure is apostolic. That is to say, it is a matter of sending out. The word from which we get apostle is the Greek word which means send out. God the Father sent Jesus out. Jesus sent the apostles out. The apostles became the bishops of the church. The bishops are involved in sending other people out, some to preach and administer the sacraments, and more to tell others the good news about the Easter attitude. The specific power Jesus gave his apostles was the right to forgive sins. Apostles are the human channels who apply the power of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection to the specific situations and people. Forgiveness is the way the once-for-all accomplishments of Good Friday and Easter extend into time, until he comes again. We cannot see Jesus alive as the first century witnesses did, but we come closest to the direct impact of the resurrection of our sins. Jesus also expresses the Easter attitude in a rather more forbidding way. If the worst thing something or somebody can do is to kill us, we are silly to waste our time being scared. It is better to focus upon a healthy respect for God, whose power to punish extends beyond death. Jesus speaks, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That is just a more downbeat, if no less effective way of saying, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.